Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. I guarantee there are people out in our congregation tonight that are having a rough time. I guarantee that there's people going through a lot of trouble in families. And tonight I want to give a little bit of encouragement. The title of my message tonight is From Gloom to Gladness. From Gloom to Gladness. And we're going to be looking at all of chapter 77 of the book of Psalms. And I'm just going to go right into the message tonight. In verses 1 to 9, we see the psalmist crying out to God because he's in significant trouble. You know, we have a lot of issues. We have prayers that we want to be answered and it doesn't get answered. And people promise to do things and they don't do things and it causes distress. We have jobs in front of us that are too big and we can get overwhelmed by them. And we can get in despair. We could sit there and see people that need to do the right thing and we pray for them and they don't do the right thing. We have problems in our lives and we want God to come in and intervene and He may not intervene on our timetable. And so this is the psalmist. And in verses 1 through 9 we see the gloom. And in verse 1 he says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Is this sounding like somebody in a victorious walk with Christ? No. This is someone that's in distress. Verse 3, I remember God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean God forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. There's three things that I need to point out here in this prayer, this cry of the psalmist. Is that there's trouble everywhere. There's trouble. You don't have to look for it. It's right there. You don't have to ask for it. It comes on its own. You know, Mephibosheth, he had a lot of things change in his life. He had a significant turnaround in his life and was going in his downward spiral until the king intervened. And so there's trouble everywhere. You know something? That trouble is part of our existence. When we talk about trouble, we think of who? Job. And in Job chapter 5, verse 7, it says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. You know, we're all going to have trouble. We're all going to have persecution. We're all going to be let down. We're all going to be confused. We're all going to be distressed. We're all going to have despair. It's just part of being who we are. And the psalmist is saying, is trouble everywhere? He says, in the day of trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran at night. I remember God. It was troubled. In verse 3, he says, in verse 4, he says, I am so what? Troubled. Oh, there's trouble everywhere. And you know something? The extent of it is more than we want. It's more than we want. Have you ever cried out, I just wish everything just stopped? That's what we have right here. In Job chapter 14, verse 1, it says, man that is born of woman is a few days and what? Full of trouble. Well, you're not being very encouraging, Pastor. The issue is, I want God to meet you at your need tonight. I want God to meet you at your need. We all have trouble. The first point is, there's trouble every minute. And what does that lead to? It leads to torment. It leads to torment. Look at what he says. He says, I cry to God my voice. Okay? He says, my soul ran in the night. My soul refused to be comforted. I complained. My spirit was what? Overwhelmed. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I can't sleep at night. Says, Yehoshua, my eyes are waking. That sounds like a person's in torment. Maybe you've been there. I'll admit, I've been there. And anyone who is working for God will get there. And so we see this torment. In Psalm chapter 31, verse 9, the psalmist says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. Psalm 102:2 says, hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. See, this is what the psalmist is having a problem with. He's crying out to God and he doesn't see a way out. He's crying out to God and he doesn't see God move. And we're going to get that here real quick. Haven't you ever been there? The issue is, that's the gloom. That's the gloom. And we can stay there as long as we want. He said, hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thy ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. Oh, that's what we want. We want a way out, don't we? And we want it quick. But sometimes, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. But here we have trouble everywhere. This is the gloom that the psalmists have. We have this torment, that this trouble that he's in. We don't know what it is. We know it's pretty significant of what he's writing here. Because it got him to a point of trepidation. He's almost to the point of being apprehensive about calling to God. Because he doesn't know if God's even going to hear his prayer or answer it. And look at these verses here. I'll repeat them on the screen. Look at these questions. He says, will the Lord cast off forever? You know, am I just going to be forsaken by God forever? And will he be what? Favorable no more. Don't I get any good from him anymore? He was good to me in the past, but I don't see any good anymore. Is his mercy clean gone forever? I.e., so far removed that you can't even remember it or see it? That's what the clean gone means. It means every speck of it is gone. You see, this guy's in pretty big distress. He says, doth his promises fail forevermore? How many, don't raise your hands, we've all doubted God, haven't we? It's just a test of our faith. And he says, hey, doth his promise fail forevermore? Have God forgotten to be gracious? Now, you know what the answer to these questions are. The ones who are not in trouble, the ones who everything's going well. Of course not. But what happens when distress comes in your life? What happens when you're under the crucible of trial? What happens then? How do you feel about these questions now? Oh, well, maybe. Maybe. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercy? Selah. So I think I made a pretty good case for the gloom of this guy. And maybe we're in that type of boat too. Maybe we see only trouble. We're like Eeyore. Okay? Nothing's good. Don't you know people that you talk to them and all they do is they find something wrong? Well, they're just a joy to be around, aren't they? Maybe you're one of them. Okay? But there's trouble everywhere, and it leads to torment. And it leads to apprehension, and you don't think that the way out even exists. But now we start turning the corner here in this psalm. The grounds or the basis for this gloom is found in verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. See, what we see here says, it's my fault. I have put myself in this gloom. It is my infirmity. It is my problem. How many times have we tried to project our problems on somebody else, hoping that they would solve it when you need to solve it? It's your trial. It's your test. You have to get through it. We all serve the same God, and we can pray an intercessory prayer. But sometimes there's things that come in our life that's ours to deal with alone. And he says, after these first 9 verses, and he's saying, doubting God, he says, it's my problem. It's my infirmity. And just like we did tonight, I'll give you the key for getting out of the gloom. It's to remember God. Amen. It's to remember God. The remedy is to remember God. You know, don't you just feel encouraged when people talk about how God works in their life? Amen. You know, we need more of that in our church. We need more of that in our families and in our homes. We need more of that, how God is good to us. So we see the gloom here in the first 9 verses. We see the grounds here, the recognition that it's His problem. We choose to be gloomy, or we can choose to remember God. We choose to ignore the remedy, or we can take the medicine. And so the rest of this chapter talks about the gladness. So he turns the corner in verse 10. He says, this is my problem. So what do I need to do? I need to get back to basics. I need to get back to God and let Him work in my life. See, the gladness comes from remembering God. In verse 11, he says, I will remember the works of the Lord. You know what that means? That's a choice. We choose to remember or we choose to forget. We have psalm or verse after verse talking about don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. But we sometimes just get too busy. We just think our problems are too big for God. And we just forget who God is. And he says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. For the Christian, all you need to do is look back and see where God's taken you from. So the gladness comes from remembering God in verse 11. The gladness comes from reflecting on what God has done. You know, we just run through life so fast that we just overrun everything. And God says, be still and know that I am God. And in verse 12, he says, I will meditate also of all thy work. I've been working with someone and given this person readings. And they read it, and then we talk about it, and he said, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I said, well, let's go back into this stuff and let's think about this for a while. And then all of a sudden the light bulb comes on. Folks, you don't read the Bible like a novel. You look at it as being valuable. Every word in it is precious. It's God speaking to us. And we need to sit back and take time and let God talk to us. And not try to fit Him into our schedule. We need to go on His schedule. He says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk. Talk of thy what? Doings. That's what we did tonight, folks. That's what we did tonight. And it was an encouragement, wasn't it? It was an encouragement. Hey, they got the same issue that I've got. They're trying to do the same thing I am. That's an encouragement. So the issue is we need to remember God. That's the first thing. And then we need to reflect on God. Thirdly, it needs to come from regarding God's way. Regard God's way. You know something? You can only regard God's way when you're in the place that God wants you to be in. If you're out of God's will and in the wrong place, you're not going to find His way. And guess what? You're going to be stuck in the gloom. It's your problem. You got to fix it. You got to turn and come out of that and come back to Him. We need to regard God's way. Verses 13 and 14 says, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Now, that doesn't mean that God only works in the church or in a building or in a temple. He works everywhere. But we're supposed to not forsake what? The assembling of ourselves together. And you know what happens when people get in the gloom? They turn their back on God. They turn their back on the only one that can help them. And then they don't understand why they can't get out of the funk that they're in. He says, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? We preach several messages on this. We need to understand how truly great God is. Who He really is. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. So the gladness comes from remembering. The gladness comes from meditating on it and reflecting on it. And then it's coming from regarding God's way. We all as a church need to regard God's way tonight. Thy way, thy path, thy light, not our own. Lean not to your own understanding. 2nd, and I'll close with this. We need to remember and regard God's acts or His actions. In verses 15 through 20 says, Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The first thing we can reflect on is our redemption. Something that cannot be taken away. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Not only do we need to remember God for His redemption, we need to remember God for His creation. And the power that He has in creation. And the power that creation exhibits. And it all has to be obedient to who? God. If nature can be obedient to God, why can't we? Why can't we? It says, Thy way is in the sea, and thy path is in great waters, and thy footprints are not known, which means it takes faith to get out there. It says, Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Go find people who are trying to follow God and let them help you too. So praise God for His actions, for bringing us redemption, for His creation, and also for training people in our path that we can follow and that could help us go from one place to another. In Psalm 43, verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" Hope in God. Hope can never be taken away, folks. But when there's no vision, the people perish. When there's no hope, there'll be gloom. It says, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." You know, sometimes, like Mephibosheth this morning, I don't care about the land. All I care about is being in your presence, King David. We don't care about this. This world's not my home. All I want to do is be in your presence and understand your peace, God. That's all we need to do. That's something that we can always have hope in. We choose to be in gloom. We choose to follow God. Get rid of the gloom with God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask us, help us, Lord, tonight to throw everything at Your feet. Lord, You give us things that are too big for us, Lord, so that we would give them to You, Lord, we would have faith. Lord, help us to be faithful people in trial. And Father, not be stuck in trouble. Lord, we know there's consequences, Lord. But Lord, we know that Your grace is sufficient. We know there's trials, Lord, but Lord, You can increase our faith. Lord, I just ask that You just help us tonight, Lord, to be changed and to be living in gladness of You. We give You this time of invitation. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.